As we approach God's word, let's pray together for help. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you this morning and we come to seek your help as we come before your word. We pray, O God, that you might grant to us the enlightening of the eyes of our minds, that, O God, we might understand the very truths of Scripture, that you might speak to us individually and that you might speak to us corporately, and that you might help us, Lord, to be those who are doers of your word, that we might be those who are transformed and conformed to the very image of Jesus Christ. So hear us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ we ask. Amen.
Amen.
What is a role model? The sermon I'll be preaching this morning is titled A Godly Understudy. And an understudy is somebody who essentially looks up to someone else. An understudy is anyone who is trained to take the place of another as a successor. But that definition, I'll use it rather loosely and say that it's broadly anybody who is trained to take up the place or to follow the example of another. And what's a role model? The definition of a role model, I'll read one definition from dictionaries. It says, a role model is somebody who serves as an example for the values, attitudes, and behaviors associated with a role. So what other people learn of that person is certain attitudes and certain behaviors and certain attributes regarding the particular role that that person has. And so that's what we'll be looking at today. But before we actually get to the actual sermon, let me read the next chapter after the one that Scott read, which is in 2 Chronicles chapter 27. And the sermon will actually be from chapter 27, but it will be drawing on chapter 26 as a context. So 2 Chronicles chapter 27. Jotham was 25 years old when he became king. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah had done, although he did not enter the temple of the Lord. But still the people acted corruptly. He built the upper gate of the house of the Lord, and he built extensively on the wall of Ophel. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah, and in the forests he built fortresses and towers. He also fought with the king of the Ammonites and defeated them. And the people of Ammon gave him in that year 100 talents of silver, 10,000 cores of wheat, and 10,000 of barley. The people of Ammon paid this to him in the second and third years also. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all his wars and his ways, indeed they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. So Jotham rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Ahaz, his son, reigned in his place. So that's the account we're given of Jotham. It's a very short account. There are only really 9 verses about this king. There are even fewer verses when you look at the book of Kings. 2 Kings chapter 15, you have even fewer verses that are given to this king called Jotham. And so we have really a sketch, a very short sketch that the Lord provides us about the life of King Jotham. And yet in this sketch, there is a lot that we can learn about this man. We learn something about the kind of godly man that Jotham was. He was a man of faith. He is described in a very short passage. But we learn some important attributes about him as a godly man. And what we will be looking at essentially is one thing about Jotham. And Jotham was a godly understudy. Jotham had a father called King Uzziah. And King Uzziah was to him a role model. And so Jotham, when he became king, he took on things that he had learned from his father. But as an understudy, he was very careful about what he learned from his father. And so we look at his godly understudying as a man. And essentially looking at two headings. One is that Jotham followed the godly example of his father Uzziah. But secondly, Jotham avoided the ungodly example of his father Uzziah. So let's look at, first of all, Jotham and how he followed the godly example of his father Uzziah. We read that Uzziah was a very active man. He was busy as a king, engaged in all kinds of activities. And obviously, Jotham, as a son who lived in the household of the king, would have watched his father, would have listened to him. The people in Israel knew Uzziah as the king. And they saw this king who ruled and was an effective ruler. But Jotham saw Uzziah as his father. Uzziah would retreat or would retire from the official duties of the day, would go to the home, would interact with his wife, with his children. And so Jotham would interact with his father. This was his father. And Jotham knew his father in ways that nobody out there among the citizenship of Judah knew. This was his father. He interacted with him. He shared with him. His father taught with him. They ate together. They probably did activities together. So there was much that Jotham came to learn from his father as a role model. Now, the Bible teaches us very clearly that role models are important for us as Christians. There are people we look up to. And clearly, our chief role model is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is made very clear in terms of how we are to see Christ as our role model in Hebrews chapter 12. Let me just read Hebrews chapter 12. And remember, chapter 12 is coming at the end of having looked at Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is about a cloud of witnesses. Those saints of old, men and women of God, who the Bible presents to us and shows us the kind of faithfulness that they had as men and women of faith. And they are presented to us as a cloud of witness that we might be encouraged and might be motivated in our Christian walk by these role models. So then chapter 12 tells us that, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all those that are listed in chapter 11, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So the reality and the truth is that there is a race that is set before every Christian. Each one of us have got a race. And for those of us who are familiar with athletics, the race that is set before us is not a sprint. It's not the kind of race that Usain Bolt runs and breaks his world records. It's not a short sprint. It's a marathon. We are on a marathon, a race of endurance. And that's how it's described here. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And so as we run this race as Christians, as we engage in this race of endurance, we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. But more so, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Christ is our perfect role model. He endured the cross. And he's a perfect role model for us because he was fully man, just like we are. and experienced every temptation as we are tempted, was tempted at every point as we are, yet was without sin. And so he's our perfect role model. He endured the cross and all the afflictions of the cross, which included being forsaken by his own father, receiving the wrath of God on our behalf. He endured it to the end. And so he is our perfect role model. Consider him, verse 3. Again, consider him our role model. Who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. When life becomes difficult, when this race of endurance has all kinds of obstacles and you find yourself being tripped up and you have to get up again and keep going, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners. Verse 4 says, you have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. None of us really will experience the kind of a hardship and trials that Christ experienced. And so that even more reason for him to be the perfect role model, that he went through such difficulty. And so role modeling is something that is quite biblical. Paul himself says similar things. Philippians 3, 14 to 18. Let me just read one reference regarding Paul's expression of this matter of role modeling. Philippians 3, 14 to 18. I press forward, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. And so Paul is saying, he's talking about himself and how he labors. He's pressing on toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's his focus, to live for Christ and to be the kind of person that Christ has called him to be. And says, follow my example. Follow this pattern that has been given to you, that you pursue godliness. You pursue following Christ. And so examples and role modeling is very biblical. So this man, Jotham, he learned from his father. And how does the Lord describe Jotham in 2 Chronicles 27, verse 2? He says that he did what was right in the sight of God, according to all that his father Uzziah did. So Jotham was very clear about what his father did, and he modeled after him. He followed his example. He did all that his father did. And so we see this man as he was being brought up in a household where his father was a God-fearing man, and he learned to fear God and to walk in the same steps that his father had walked. I want to just point out a few things that his father Uzziah did, we find in the life of Jotham as well. One of the things that we find regarding Uzziah was that he was a very active king. He was busy consolidating the very life of Judah, ensuring that there was stability in the land, that there was protection against the enemies, that the land was provided for, there was food, there was shelter. And so we read this in chapter 26 and verse 9 and 10. Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate, at the valley gate, at the corner buttress of the wall. Then he fortified them. Also he built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and in the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. Uzziah was busy. He ensured that he used his industrious nature to build the land of Judah and to ensure that agriculture thrived. and that people are provided for. We find the same thing happens with Jotham as well. If you go to the next chapter, chapter 27, verse 4, verse 3. Jotham built the upper gate of the house of the Lord. He built extensively on the wall of Ophel. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah and in the forests. He built fortresses and towers. And you notice that both men, as they were interested in ensuring that there was stability in the land, they were also quite careful about the state of the temple. There was attention given to the temple, building the gates, the gate of the house of the Lord, ensuring that the temple was well looked after. It was not under bad maintenance. They were interested in the house of God. As Uzziah showed an interest in the house of God, so did Jotham show an interest in ensuring that God's house was kept well and maintained. They had an interest, as Uzziah had an interest, so did Jotham, in the state of the house of God, showing that they were interested in upholding God as the center of the life of Judah. But not only did Uzziah have an interest in terms of the general well-being of the land and also the spiritual state, he also had an interest in the protection of his nation. He was conscious that they were surrounded by enemies who were all the time seeking for ways of overrunning Judah. And so he took measures to ensure that that protection was secured. And what we read in 2 Chronicles 26, from verse 6, we read of Uzziah ensuring that he was always putting his enemies on the back foot. Verse 6, he went out and made war against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians who lived in Gurbal, and against the Meunites. Also, the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, for he became exceedingly strong. Then verse 11. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men who went out to war by companies, according to the number of their rule, as prepared by Jeiel the scribe and Maaseiah the officer, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The total number of chief officers of the mighty men of valor was 2,600. And under their authority was an army of 307,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Then Uzziah prepared for them, for the entire army, shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows and slings to cast stones. And he made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and on the corners, to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped till he became strong. This man was industrious. As much as he prepared to protect his people, he looked for innovative ways of ensuring that his army was effective. He built devices and armaments that threw rocks. He's a man who was always thinking, how can I best provide for the protection of God's people? And so you find that sense of industry as far as defense for his nation was concerned. And Jotham, his son, likewise, as he learned from his father, we find that he himself invested in protecting Judah, that he was king over. And so in verse 5 of chapter 27, we find that Jotham also fought with the king of the Ammonites and defeated them. And the people of Ammon gave him in that year 100 talents of silver, 10,000 cores of wheat, and 10,000 of barley. The people of Ammon paid this to him in the second and third year also. So Jotham became mighty, because he prepared his ways before the Lord. So Jotham also became strong in terms of being able to defend the kingdom of Judah against his enemies. Again, learning that from his father. And this is a godly trait. Remember, these are God's people. and God's people under the protection of God against their enemies. And so we find Jotham likewise was concerned about the defense and the security of God's people. Then we read also in chapter 26 about Jotham. That this is the description of, about Uzziah. This is the description of Uzziah, Jotham's father, regarding his state. That he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought God, the Lord, God made him prosper. So Uzziah himself was a godly man. He sought after the Lord. And that is the verdict that is given of him. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Jotham continued as he followed his father's footsteps, that godly example. He also pursued after the Lord. And that's the description we read of Jotham in chapter 27. That he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. That's further emphasized or highlighted in verse 6. That Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. And so here is this man Jotham, an understudy, a godly understudy of his father Uzziah, who he watched and learned his father. Saw how industrious his father was in terms of building the nation of Judah, ensuring that the people of Judah are provided with the things they need. He saw his industry of protecting Judah and ensuring that the enemies are kept at bay. And he likewise was very concerned for the security and the protection of the people of God. He also learned about his father's godliness. His father sought after the Lord. And Jotham himself sought after God. He prepared his heart before the Lord. And so he was a godly man. Jotham followed the godly example of his father. And there are some lessons for us to consider in relation to that kind of godly example. Godly role or godly role models are important in the Christian walk. We read of them. We read of people who have done things that as Christians motivate us, they encourage us. We read of them, we hear of them, we see them, we live with them. Role modeling is important. Parents have a unique and God-given role as role models. A very significant opportunity they have. Parents influence their children in ways that others cannot. Children are with their parents. They know them well. They see them. They watch them. And so it's an amazing opportunity for role modeling. They learn values and conduct from them. Of course, children at the end of the day will choose whether they will follow their parents' examples. But there is a unique opportunity that parents have to role model for their children. We should follow godly example. And we should also choose our role models well. Particularly young people. Choose role models well. Not exclusively to young people. We all need to choose our role models well. But particularly to young people. And this I say particularly to young people. Don't be overwhelmed by celebrities. And don't be consumed by spending too much time following celebrities. They are not the best of role models. So let's choose our role models well. Now, how do we apply the godly example of Jotham, the godly example of following Uzziah's godly example? Well, for us, parents, or for those of us who have godly parents, do you value your parents' example? Do you follow it? Or do you probably feel that it's a bit of a nuisance? Parents' example is maybe a bit too out there. You know, you don't quite agree with it. Maybe you're embarrassed by some things that your parents do. Mom and dad don't let you go to some functions your friends go to. Dad always insists when you go out to a restaurant that he's going to pray before you eat the meal and everybody sees you praying. Or maybe you sing as a family when you're having a family worship and your neighbors are going to say, these people are singing again. I feel embarrassed, my mom and dad. Good role modeling of parents is a blessing. Parents who are God-fearing and are seeking to glorify God may do things that you might not agree with, or you may find embarrassing, but they are good for you. A good role model is a godly parent. Parents, those of us who are parents, and those of us who are older Christians, parents and older Christians, mature Christians, how much of Christ do we show our children and the younger generation? Are we good role models? Are we serving Christ with commitment? Are we showing a sense of industry? Uzziah had an example to his son of an industrious man. He set out to labor for the Lord. Is that the example we set our children? Industrious, laboring to serve Christ. Whether it is in the home, whether it is at church, whether it is in the workplace, that our children see that industry where we give ourselves to serving Christ. And our attitude is that we give Christ the best that we can. We don't give him the second best, but the best. Not sloppy, not sluggish, but faithful and fervent service of Christ. Is that what we are role modeling to our children, to the younger generation? Are we standing up for them, for their spiritual well-being, seeking their spiritual good, warning them, teaching them, so that they might not be overwhelmed by the influences of this world? Are we praying for them, living by example to them? That's important role modeling. It has a very great impact. But we need to seek and ask ourselves whether this is what we are doing. Because we are, every Christian here is a role model. Every one of us who has come to the Lord Jesus Christ is a role model to others. So let's ask ourselves, let's examine ourselves. Are we role modeling the kind of people that those who watch us would be, were they to come to the Lord? And those who are young Christians, as they grow, that they have these older Christians they look up to that have role models for them. Well, that was Jotham followed the godly example of his father Uzziah. But secondly, Jotham was very careful. He avoided the ungodly example of Uzziah. And as much as his father had wonderful examples for him to model, there were things that Uzziah did which Jotham was careful not to follow and not to do. So let's consider Jotham avoiding the ungodly example of his father, Uzziah. So we read that Jotham in verse 2 of 27 did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Uzziah did, although he did not enter the temple of the Lord. So clearly there were some things that Uzziah did which were not right. And we find this right at the end of Uzziah's life. He made this terrible sin of seeking to go to the temple and to take matters into his hand that was none of his business. He was a king, he was not a priest. So let's consider, first of all, this man Uzziah. One of the problems he had was that he was very inconsistent in terms of following the Lord. There was a certain inconsistency that he had, which was a weakness, and Jotham avoided that weakness. So you read this in chapter 26 about Uzziah. Uzziah was, verse 3, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding the visions of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Now this man, it's very clear that as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. When was it that Uzziah sought the Lord? When did Uzziah seek the Lord? Verse 5 tells us he sought the Lord, or he sought God, in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding. As long as Zechariah was on the scene, Uzziah really sought the Lord. Uzziah's seeking of the Lord was kind of dependent on Zechariah being around the scene. Zechariah, some commentators believe that Zechariah was the son of a prophet who was there before Uzziah's days, who had been killed by Joash the king. So he believes that this Zechariah was the son of the man called Zechariah by a similar name. We're not clear exactly who he was, but obviously he was a man who had an influence upon Uzziah's life. So that as long as Zechariah was there, this man who had understanding in the visions of God, Uzziah sought the Lord. But the moment this man, Zechariah, left the scene, things went all wrong for Uzziah. His ability to seek after the Lord seemed to have been hampered and affected. And we see something very similar with Uzziah's grandfather, King Joash. King Joash was a man who, when the priest called Jehoiada was alive, Joash was very faithful in pursuing after God. The moment Jehoiada died, all the good work that Joash had done kind of went down the drain. Joash allowed idols to come into the people of God because Jehoiada the priest, who was influential in his life, was no longer there. And so we find that there was a certain inconsistency that Uzziah had. As long as Zechariah was around to influence him, he sought after the Lord. The moment he was removed from the scene, that was it. That was not the case with Jotham. Jotham, as is described in verse 6 of chapter 27, Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Now that phrase, prepared his ways, is actually means in Hebrew that he was upright, or that he was perpendicular. This man, Jotham, was upright. He did not depend on a man being around to influence him for his uprightness before God. That he looked to God, Jehovah. And as much as there may have been men who influenced him, God was the one that he looked up to. And he retained his uprightness and his very perpendicular stature before God. And God blessed him because he prepared his ways before the Lord. He was steadfast. He was not moving here and there inconsistently like his father. He was steadfast in following after God. And so he avoided that inconsistent trait that his father Uzziah had in following after the Lord. The second thing that Jotham avoided was something that was very clearly wrong with his father. His father became successful. Uzziah was a very successful king. But it's very clear that his success became his undoing. His success led to pride. Uzziah became a very successful king, and that success became a source of pride for him. He became proud. Why do I say this? Verse 15 of chapter 26. He made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and the corners, to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped till he became strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. He became proud. He thought he was better than he actually was. He thought more of himself than he really was. His heart was lifted up. to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. That was the role of the priest. Some commentators have, supposed what could have been the case. Maybe he felt the priests were not doing their work properly and thought that he will go and offer incense the way that he thought was right. Others think he may have been influenced by the knowledge that in other nations around him, the kings actually offered incense themselves. Whatever the reason was, his heart was lifted up, and he saw it his responsibility to take the role of the priest and go into the temple. And of course, it was wrong. The priests were shocked to see him wanting to go into the temple to offer incense, and they pleaded with him. It is something that is quite amazing when you think about this man Uzziah, that when his heart was tender, he listened to the counsel of one man, Zechariah. When his heart was lifted up, 80 God-fearing men would not convince him. 80. That's what we read here. That there were 80 priests who went to try and convince him otherwise. And yet those 80 men could not convince him that he should not. That is something for us to be concerned about. Verse 17 says that, so Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. He would not listen to them. A whole group of 80 men coming and saying, Uzziah, don't do that. That is the work of the priests. The Lord's anger will be upon you. But he was too proud to listen to him. Yet when his heart was tender, one man, Zechariah, was able to influence him, and he was able to do things that are pleasing to God. That should be a real warning to us about pride. Pride is a dangerous thing. That pride lifts us up, lifts ourselves up, causes our hearts to be lifted up, causes our hearts to be hardened, and to dig our heels and not to consider what God has to say. We should be those who are really fearful of what pride might do. Probably also a matter for us to consider that prosperity and success can be a real stumbling block. Success and prosperity brought great harm to Uzziah. He forgot that this prosperity and success was not his doing. This was God who had given it to him. One Puritan, Thomas Brooks, wrote a small book called Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices. And in that book he says that adversity has slain its thousands, but prosperity has slain its 10,000s. Prosperity, if we do not guard ourselves, can be a cause of great sin and great harm in our lives. And that was what we learn about Uzziah. But Jotham was careful. He avoided the ungodly example of his father of being lifted up because of success. Jotham instead prepared his ways before God. Always considered God. And recognized that anything he had, it was God who had given to him. So he avoided the ungodly example of his father. Well, lessons for us. Every godly, even godly men, can make mistakes. They're not perfect. In fact, we would have to say that it's a wonder of God's grace that these men are counted as men who did right in the sight of God. Let me just read a few descriptions of Jotham's great-grandfather, and father before him, and how they're described. In 2 Chronicles chapter 24, in relation to Joash, his great-grandfather, 2 Chronicles 24:2, Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. So as long as Jehoiada was there, Joash did all that was right in the sight of the Lord. Then Joash's son, Amaziah, we read about him in 2 Chronicles 25 and verse 2. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. He pursued after the Lord, but he didn't do it with all his heart. His heart was not fully given to the Lord. There were half measures in the way that he pursued after the Lord. And then, of course, Uzziah himself, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord in the days of Zechariah. And so all these men remind us that they may have been role models. And they were godly men, but they did sin. And they failed in some shape or form. And we need to remember, even godly men make mistakes. But you see God's grace been manifested, that God did not wipe them out. That even in their sin, he still considered that they were men who served him. Jotham himself, as much as he was a man who followed godly example and avoided godly example, also had his own problems. There are things about Jotham that we can say were found wanting. How does it describe Jotham in verse 2 of 27? He did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Uzziah had done. Although he did not enter the temple of the Lord, but still the people acted corruptly. Jotham was not able to really wield an influence upon the people of Judah so that they stopped their corrupt practices. The second king says that he did not remove the high places. So those places were still present in Judah. Jotham was not able to exercise his influence enough to remove those high places where the children of Israel were tempted to go and offer up worship to idols. He also failed in that way, that he was not able to exercise that rule of a godly king to get rid of idolatry in the nation. And we need to be reminded that whoever our role models might be, they are not perfect. The only perfect role model we have is the Lord Jesus Christ. And why we are therefore exhorted to look to him, our perfect one, the author and the perfecter of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. So role models should not be followed blindly, or neither should they be idolized, because they make mistakes and they sin. We should also be very careful not to follow the mistakes of any role models that we have. We also need therefore to know what is it that is displeasing to God that our role models might be doing. Well, as far as applications are concerned, I'll ask a few questions. Are you careful not to follow everything that people do or say simply because they are or they were your role models? Are there any ungodly characteristics that you see in them? You shouldn't follow after those characteristics, whether they are of a cultural kind or whether they are of a personal type. You should not follow them. You should avoid them. Are you willing to break with tradition that has been passed on to you by role models, which you know, however, does not honor God? Whether you receive that tradition from parents, from employers, from school, from things you watch, or is that particular tradition so precious because of where it has come from? Well, for all of us, I pray, this is a real prayer, that for us who have come to Christ, that should the Lord tarry and that we are given reasonably long lives, that none of us will find ourselves guilty of grievous sin that trips up those who look up to us, and that we will avoid any things that should lead to temptation to those who follow us. But I also pray that those who are our children, those who will come after us, that they would be very careful not to follow any ungodly traits or any ungodly behavior that they might see in us. And that they might become like Jotham was. He not only followed godly example, but he avoided ungodly example as well. So in conclusion, the godly example of role models is important for the Christian life, and we should be thankful for it. Christ, however, must remain our perfect role model, and we must avoid all ungodly elements in any examples that go before us. So may the Lord help us that this will be the thing that we do. Amen.